Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, Andy Jacobs joined us and Jeff Peters, the official scorer, for a birthday spread.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away the score, but it was a tremendous game.
It was very exciting at the start. It's just initially very exciting. So you may read the subtext into that. We also spoke to TJ Waterfall. Who is an elite vegan sports nutritionist.
Yes,
he works with the stars.
And I asked probably the stupidest question of the show to TJ.
Yeah, he did, so you'll enjoy that. Julian Laurent told us how Poch got on in his first game in charge of PSG. And what else did we do? Oh, yeah, we spoke about David Beckham's car, didn't we? David Beckham's Range Rover.
It blew my mind. I'm not an expert, but it is very surprising what you can do to a car.
Yeah. It's a 2007 Range Rover Sport Khan design, and it's up for sale again. And we found out a bit more about all the add-ons.
Absolutely.
Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Hey, good afternoon. And I know this is talk sport and not talk politics, but it was quite difficult to watch the Manchester Derby when there was free kick to flick over to CNN to find out what was happening. It was an extraordinary evening. And normally, and I don't know if this is a terrible thing to say, normally, like, there are times when there's a lot of football on at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, Rory Smith did a really interesting thread about the fact that actually, that if you have every single game staggered and you can watch every single game, sometimes you only need about 8 or 9 minutes highlights of one of the games, and it takes away from the 3 o'clock on a Saturday and match of the day. Right, Soccer Saturday is great because you've got goals going in everywhere and match of the day. But there was a moment on Saturday when I just watched 4 games or something, and halfway through one of the games, I was like,
"Life's too short.
I'm going to watch Vera." So normally it's Vera I go to, but
why is Vera your go-to? Andy's used to be Monk, American.
Oh, yes, I like
Neighbours,
Monk,
obviously. Park that, but Monk, he used to watch old reruns of the American cop show.
It's just, I think, a sort of very gentle murder-based program is where I normally sort of move to after or during football. I don't know if you're probably more professional than me, aren't you?
I don't stick with it.
Normally flick to?
I might go to a quiz or something
Games type thing.
Anything that's going. It could be an old bullseye on challenge when a game's a complete stinker.
Trouble was, it was the Wolves Brighton game. I thought, well, this is done. So I flicked over. 3-3 by the time Vera had solved it. I don't want to give it away, but she solved this particular episode. 3-3 in that game. I've got an apology to make. Yesterday I was doing breakfast. It's not for doing breakfast.
Okay. I think it's about time you apologised for that.
Good, yeah. So with Jamie O'Hara and I were going through Jamie's best 5 midfielders ever.
Yeah.
And I think he had Scholes and Gerrard and Xavi, Iniesta and Zidane. It's not a bad 5. But I was saying, of all time ever, you know, Platini was good or whatever. And I was saying, you know, Scholes might be on my second table.
Yeah.
But I obviously didn't realise that Paul Scholes would be listening to the radio. Mm. And he was, you know, he spoke to Jamie and said, I'll be looking out for Rushton if we're ever in a charity game.
To prove once again that he can't tackle.
Absolutely.
Really?
So I'd just like to, it's quite a niche text topic, but if any of the class of 92 are listening, could they let me know 8:29.
Because you're going to get stuck into him today.
Well, pile into Gary Neville.
One of them might be, because we're going to find out. It's been a while since he's seen his old Range Rover. He bought it in 2008, I think, just before he went to Real Madrid, David Beckham. And he gifted it to his sister, Joanne. But I think it's gone on sale a couple of years ago. It's 4.2. It's a bit of a gas guzzler. You'll get under 10 miles a gallon.
Now,
it's Range Rover.
I don't know a lot about cars.
Yeah. It's fully loaded, sir. That's all I'm telling you.
How many miles to the gallon would a normal, just a very comfortable estate or saloon
car? Cars you're buying at the moment is going to get you 30 plus.
Right. Okay, that's good.
You know,
that's good.
I would think. Right.
Just fill it up
30
when it's
to
run
40
out.
Plus, even okay. better than that. But oh, wow, in some cases, but you know, 9 miles to the gallon, that's a bit old school. But anyway, we will. If you'd like to own it, it's at £11,750 at the moment. It's on auction, and we're going to speak to someone who's had a good look around it. There's plenty of Becks in the vehicle.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
There's. He's got his the carpets have got like his autograph on. It was all done. It was conned up for people who understand customising. It was conned up.
Do you have that? Do you have autograph over your house? Do you have Paul Hawkesby signed?
Right, best wishes. I put on all the carpets in my car.
On your bath mat as well.
Yeah.
Designed for Paul Hawkesby.
But it was all personally done for him. It was a 100 grand car at the time in 2008. So £11,000 if you don't mind a gas guzzler and all that. We'll be telling you more about that later on if somebody's had a good look at it. And also, we want to hear from you about your items that you own that were once owned by the stars. The more obscure, the better. Have you got anything like that, Max?
I've been sworn, I put this on Twitter, I've been sworn not to tell a certain anecdote about a kitchen appliance.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to tell it.
Definitely, there's a ban. There's a complete sin-die ban.
No, but I did auction my car off. Darren Eady runs that Celebrity website where he auctions things off for charity. So celebrities, inverted commas, give the things to Darren Eady and then he auctions them off and you give it to a good cause.
Nice.
So I had a Y-Reg Clio valued £1,000 and I gave it to Darren Eady's website to auction off. So how much do you think a Y-Reg Clio worth £1,000 plus the
celebrity endorsement?
The celebrity endorsement of me, what do you reckon that went for?
Well, I'm tempted to say more than a grand, but the way you set that question, I would suggest it was about 850
600 quid.
It's just the Max Rushton Association put 400 quid off the going rate.
I can devalue anything by 40%.
That's brilliant. So let us know. Anything. Years ago, we had a listener phone up and said he bought Frank Stapleton's house, and he said one of the things he remembers most was the bright emerald green toilet seat. And bathroom suite that Frank had.
Oh, marvellous.
So I did a bit of Sky with Frank, and I said, can you stand this up, Frank? Did you have an emerald green toilet seat and bathroom seat? He said, absolute rubbish. No, I didn't.
Has anyone ever had an emerald toilet seat?
Obviously not made of emerald.
Oh, right.
I think it was the colour.
Right.
It was the colour. Maybe it was a nod to his Irish roots. But
how decadent
Frank Stapleton
would be to get a solid emerald
toilet. It's also not very comfortable. Is it those times where you just want to sit on the seat, also, like the phone goes or something?
Heavy on the way down as well. You'd have to place it down.
Yeah,
imagine
in the middle of the night that thumping sound of the emeralds go down.
A smile, please, says, I purchased a KitchenAid mixer off Paul Dickoff.
Wow.
Who knows? Monty says, I bought one of Ben Fogle's old barber jackets last year for the charity Help the Aged. What a middle class tweet this is, he says.
I bet that was well. I bet they had a lot of lab hairs in the old pockets, didn't you? A lot of dog hairs. I bet if you go through those pockets, you'll find at least 4 poo bags and some old empty ones, obviously unused, and some old treats.
Andy says, I bought Lee Dixon's stained glass bathroom door.
Really? Yeah. Lee Dixon stained glass bathroom door.
Anyone?
Latest edition. Steve Bold interview. Only £1.
This is a good text. Hi, it's Nicky Butt. Please remember me. No one else does. Hashtag class of 92. Thanks, Nicky.
Is that from Nicky or you think somebody having you on?
It might be from Ollie in Portsmouth. But
okay, fair enough. Who he's staying with at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The other thing we'd like to hear from you on, so let us know anything to once owned by the stars. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ 087172233344. This was a letter from Catherine Kidson, not that Kath Kidson, no. I take it, from Bradfield in Berkshire. She wrote to the Telegraph. She said, Sir, when I met the love of my life, it quickly became apparent that he was a huge Spurs fan. By our second date, I made sure that I knew all 11 of the football team's players and their merits on the field. Obviously impressed, he proposed 12 weeks later. We've been happily married for 21 years and my love for him has never dwindled. Sadly though, my love for all things football has not lasted. I often worry that my husband feels he has been cheated out of the wife he thought he was marrying. So, but sometimes early on in a relationship, you do kind of make the effort, don't you? And you think, well, that's what he likes, that's what she likes, that's what they like. like.
Did you make an effort?
I'm going to go through that. Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, my missus dropped the bombshell on me quite early on that she'd been a childhood gooner.
She had
pictures of Charlie George
like
and
Harry Kane,
Frank McClintock on the wall. She said it was just a passing fad, you know, but a love of arse. Had I known a bit earlier, it could have been very different. Mrs. Rushton, we're going to hear from her now because you obviously work in the football industry and you've tried to, she's Australian, as you're here, if you haven't heard her before, but you've tried to get her interested in football and this kind of gives you maybe a bit of an example of how things are going. You asked her, Max, did
yes,
you?
Well, she has no interest in football or sport. She calls it all the green, right? It's just green on the screen. I was watching cricket one day and the next morning I was watching Match of the Day and she said, didn't you watch this yesterday? So like literally hates it, has no interest in my career. So yes, I did. And she has lots of social media fans, Jamie Carragher, Georgie Bingham, formerly this Paris, Laura Woods, big fans of her on Instagram. Yes, I asked her to name 10 footballers.
Ronaldinho. Ronaldo.
One.
Messi.
Two.
Scorgenjo.
Who?
Snodgrass.
Hang on, Scorgenjo is Solskjaer.
Snodgrass as well.
That's
like 10.
Four.
Sergei Mourinho?
Five-ish.
Who's the man?
Yeah.
Redcap. Harry Redcap.
My favourite of that is, and he's in the news today, Snodgrass. And that you say, you think she says Snodgrass, so you say Snodgrass, yeah. And she goes, no, Snodgrass, you idiot. Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, so she has. She's made no effort. But the phrase you're punching above your weight. So quite often people send her pictures on social media of Jason Punchin.
Oh yeah.
And she once turned to me one morning and said, "Who is John Puncioni?"
Oh dear me. So look, let us know this afternoon about those kind of efforts that you made with the other half in the early days. You probably don't bother now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You've been telling us some of your stories. We asked you about items once owned by the Stars. And we've got on here, I bought a Jaguar XJS from David Jason.
Oh, that's good.
Of course, of only Fools and Horses fame. Many years ago. Sadly, I didn't get to meet the great man. One of his people. Does he have people? One of his people handled the transaction. He did, however.
It was Rodney.
Yeah, it would have been Rodney. Would have had Rodney messed up. Granddad, yeah. Here you go, mate. Here's your car.
This is brilliant.
He did, however, leave a golf club cover in the boot. So I don't know if that was some kind of message from David Jason, but the golf club, he said, which is no good to me as I don't play golf, said Steve the Saints fan.
On the subject of making an effort, you read a great story in the Telegraph about a wife who learnt all of the Spurs players of whatever era it was and then years later didn't know who Hossam Ghali was. Anyway, I first met my wife 15 years ago and when we were both 16 working in Ralph Lauren. She knew I was an Arsenal fan. She told me she was in the Arsenal Lady team. With no reason to disbelieve her, I made her my girlfriend. I made it. That's right. She probably agreed.
I made her my girlfriend. You will be my girlfriend.
I was thrilled to tell all my friends and family I was now going out with an Arsenal player. Years later, in conversation with her family, the lie came out that she was never an Arsenal player and in fact had barely made the Chinner ladies team. By that time we were too
Chinner
far
ladies
in.
Were a good side.
Were they?
Okay. I saw Spurs. I mean, Spurs went 1-0 up against and then sat back.
Of course,
that was a tip again. Of course, the Chinner ladies.
By that time, it was too far in. We went on to marry, and we've been married 6 years and have a 1-year-old. I can't see the name on that text. That's a great story,
it
isn't
is.
It? Lied about playing for Arsenal ladies. That's going quite the stretch, isn't it?
Let's not have your marriages built on a lie. Let's not go.
I think that's
we
a
don't
great
go
one.
Down
save
that, route.
That for the weekend.
But let us know. Putting that little bit of extra effort in the early stages of a relationship. Sporting or otherwise. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. David Beckham's Range Rover is up for sale. You could be the proud owner if you've got just shy of 12 grand. But what are you getting for your money? We'll find out from the good people at Motoring Research very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. And yeah, your chance to earn a bit of football / motoring history. Mm. David Beckham's 2008 customised Range Rover Sport is available. It's in black, sir. It's fully loaded. It's a lovely vehicle. They're ideal for just getting to and from the shops. And at less than about 10 miles an hour, that's probably about as far as you want to go. But not 10 miles an hour, sorry, 10 miles per gallon. But anyway, let's find out more about it. The good people at Motoring Research have had a good look over the vehicle.
Mm.
And joining us now, Richard Ocock, their editor. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon.
Now, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'd be a lot of football fans interested in something like that. Is this more expensive than you'd expect with a kind of car like that and the mileage it has because it's David Beckham's, or is it the going rate, would you say?
Interesting. It surprised us how affordable it currently is. $10,000 is pretty much what you pay for one of these, particularly in this nice spec and low mileage and immaculate condition. It's quite surprising, although I notice it is up for auction and it is gradually creeping up through the day, so it might not sell for close to $10,000 by the end of the day.
Right, you know, we're struggling a bit with the line, so we're going to get you back, Richard, if we can, on a slightly better line. So we'll try and catch up with Richard and find out a bit more, because it's a touch muffled.
It was a little muffled. I want to hear the detail if I'm going to bid for this.
Yeah, if you're going to make it, it'll be $11,750. I think you've only got about 5-6 hours left to bid for the car. Right.
From what I heard, it was going up and up. So by the time we get Richard back, it could be 28
well,
grand.
I've got it on my screen here. Let's have a look.
Okay,
I'll update
it. Give us this. Is exciting. This is ball by ball commentary, isn't it?
Because we're talking about it, I guess. £12,250. It's met the reserve.
Okay.
I think it went for quite a lot more money a couple of years ago. I think it was about $30,000 then. So the backside's fallen out of it.
Not
buy literally
a new car. There you go,
Richard. I think we've got you back. Is that better?
I'm back.
Oh, it's
back.
A bit better. Yeah, good stuff. Now we said 2 years ago it sold for about $30,000. So this is 2 years on. It's got a sizable amount. It's got 66,000 miles on it, hasn't it? But we said it's a rather juicy vehicle, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's got a beautiful spec, and it's got all this custom car and design kit that cost, I think it's $100,000, just the extras that it's got on it. So it's a beautiful and very special machine. And the current rate is well under what you'd normally pay for it.
So sorry, I'm not an expert with cars. How much did it cost new?
$100,000 it was.
Was that $100,000 in total? I thought $100,000 of extras on top of the car.
Oh, really? Was it $100,000 of extras, or was that the lot?
That was a lot. I think the vehicle was about 35, and then more than twice that in extras. And the extras included sort of hand-sewn leather and a top-end sound system and everything that you would expect the Beckhams to to fit to a Range Rover.
Do the super rich do that a lot? I mean, I'm sorry to sound baffled, but if the car is 35, do lots of people spend double that getting their own name sewn into the bottom of the car?
How many footballers, I mean, all the years on soccer, I mean, all the footballers you spoke to, didn't you see them pull up in the car park in their overfinch?
Well, I occasionally, but I just don't really, it seems very odd to have your name.
I used to see Jermaine Defoe occasionally in his big custom-built, right? You could barely see above the steering wheel. I'm sure he was sitting on a block.
Did they, Richard, get a good, I mean, did they spend too much on getting his name sewed into the seat covers, or was that quite a conservative amount of money to get your car specced up with your own name on it?
Yeah, they can spend a fortune, and Bentley sells an SUV, the Bentayga, for $150,000, mm-hmm. and you can get a clock in it, and the clock itself is $150,000.
Is it a grandfather clock?
it's a hand winding that you have to do every
and people,
morning.
And they actually, and what does the clock? Does it have that? What does it do?
Is it a solid gold clock?
What is it?
It's a self-winding clock in the dashboard, and it doesn't actually look all that, to be honest. Wow. But yeah, it's quite special. It's got gold and diamonds and things. So and people do spend it. That's the amazing thing. People do spend a fortune on customizing these high-end vehicles. I visited Bentley a few years back, and the amount of vehicles that are going down the line in sort of bright gold and pink leather inside and things, people spend an absolute fortune making these cars their own.
It's got mismatched tyres, though, I understand from your report, that not all the tyres are the same. Wouldn't you expect that?
Spent all the money on a watch,
yeah, probably. He's got that clock, couldn't afford the right tyres. But some of the spec is pretty impressive. I mean, you've got a couple of the kids, they've got screens in the back of the chairs, as you'd imagine, in the back, so the kids used to watch DVDs and play games. It's got a Genesis sound system, which only plays Genesis, I take it. So you've got to like supper's ready. 20 minutes. And all the carpets have got his name sewn in. He could argue that at 66,000 miles, how many were him or the person that bought it? So he gifted it to his sister, Joanne, for a while, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yep. So he had it for a while and then gifted it to his sister, and then somebody else bought it. And I think that's where the things like the mismatched tyres.
Because I can't see Bex having that. He'd have that attention to detail. Doesn't need to go and put on a sort of remold or something, does he? Doesn't need to pop down. Can you? Yeah, just stick one on. Whatever you got. Yeah.
He's a proper car nut, and he's had some amazing cars over the years. There's the famous picture of when he met Posh Victoria. Yeah. In the Porsche all those years ago, and he's had Ferraris and loads of Range Rovers and things. So yeah, he really knows his stuff, and this is a great example of that, because it's a beautiful car and a really, really tasteful and good looking spec.
Does he always put his name in it?
He doesn't always, but yeah, on occasion he has had things sewn in, and they do occasionally pop up. Beckham's ex cars, and it's interesting to see what sort of things he's had done to them. Whether it's him or Mrs. Beckham that's had it done.
I mean, he'd spend this on a good cigar, wouldn't he? So I wonder if he might go back in now for old time's sake, just go hit for him and Victoria to drive the old car again after all these years. It's unlikely, I would think.
And so you might have said this already. How much, if this had nothing to do with David Beckham, how much would this car be going for now, do you think?
Well, if it hadn't been proven, probably $10,000-ish it might go for. The starting price is actually pretty decent given the condition that it's in. But I think now, as the clock's ticking, and you've got things like Beckham's signature in the history and things, that might push it up a bit. And also the fact that it is a really nice car.
Yeah, it looks it. It must. It certainly does. You've got 6 hours left, folks. It's currently at £12,250,
right.
And themarket.co.uk. Thank you very much.
Thank
really
you,
interesting.
Richard.
Good stuff,
that.
Richard. All the best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Richard is the editor of Motoring Research.
That's mind blowing.
The website which gives you all the information.
I did apply. You know when Top Gear said send a 30-second video in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like anyone can go for it. And I was like, well, I got some experience on TV. And
yeah.
The BBC did ban me from driving when I worked for them because I kept crashing the radio car. I kept going, you know, like, into multi-story
car. Did you tell them
parts.
That, though, when you applied
yeah,
for
I told
Top
them
Gear.
That because I wanted to sort of, you know, take the Batmobile and do, like, you know, Bay Park and Can It Fit Your Shopping In? And then go to everywhere where the previous presenters had been politically incorrect and just apologise in a combi van. And they actually thought about it. And then they stopped answering my emails.
Oh, really? You fell out of the...
I fell out of the pecking order. Yeah. I was on the long list.
Early.
Could have changed my life.
Can I ask your opinion on something, Max?
Please
would you
do,
mind?
Yes.
Sartorially.
I'd love to. I'm very opinionated.
I don't know how targeted Gap's marketing is, but they sent me a message the other day. They emailed me and it says, these leggings are so you.
They are so you,
now,
aren't they?
Have a look.
Tell me about the leggings.
Look, they've obviously done their work and looked at my demographic,
yeah.
and 50 plus men.
Yeah.
And they think these leggings are so me.
Oh, they are nice.
Now,
do you describe the colour? They're
do you
sort
think
of
they're me?
Pink and pink polka dot. Are they quite? They're more leopard. Are they leopard? What would you say?
And I don't know what they are.
Pink
they're
leopard?
A kind of quite a pinky blue colour. Mm. They say your favourite opaque leggings.
Oh, your favourite opaque ones.
They're not necessarily mine, but yeah. You know they've done. They're high compression, moisture wicking with four-way stretch,
mm-hmm.
and they seem predominantly have sort of 20-year-old women wearing them.
Do you think there's an age where you'll go to leggings? I mean, tracksuit trousers are nice, aren't they? Do you think there's some day you'll... I remember Brian Blessed came on Soccer AM in tracksuit trousers, and I was quite jealous. I did think you could have dressed up a little bit for this TV show, but then when you get to Blessed's level, you can wear a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you've done 20 years, your birthday could be, yeah. I'm going to dress casual now.
Well, I remember one of our guys went off to interview Ian Marshall, former Oldham player, went up
at
Boundary Park. Dave Marvellous. Cottrell went there to interview Ian Marshall for 90 Minutes magazine. And Ian turned in basically like he was a painter and decorator. he said, oh, yeah, I'm just doing a little bit of work. I mean, he was covered in paint.
Oh,
I mean, literally.
Great.
Sort of paint flecks
maybe
in the hair.
Maybe a photo shoot like that.
Probably went for
it. I never knew Ian Marshall was a painter and decorator.
Yeah. High compression, moisture. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they are so me. I'm looking at them here.
I'm putting the model in the photo. I think they'll sell more with that model than if they change it to you
okay.
in that photo.
Well,
but I don't mean that as an insult.
Maybe we'll put a picture up and we'll let the listeners decide whether that is so me or not. But I think Gap have just... It's been a bit scattergun in terms of their marketing. So we'll see. Anyway, you are listening to Talk Sport, believe it or not.
It's not Talk Leggings.
No, it's not Talk Leggings. Yeah, never mind all that. But anyway, Maurizio Pochettino had his first game in charge of Paris Saint-Germain last night. How did it go? I've watched the highlights. You've watched the highlights.
Yeah.
And we'll find out a little bit more about it. It's a bit weird seeing him in another dugout. It was like seeing an old girlfriend with a new bloke.
Did it hurt you?
It was weird. It was weird.
Has
seeing
he got
him
his nice little friend, Jesus.
Jesus and all the guys there, seeing all his coaches, such familiar faces, sitting on another man's bench.
Just didn't feel right.
It didn't. Anyway, we'll be chatting more about that shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. We'll talk a bit of transfer news later on and we'll see how Maurizio Pochettino did in his first game in charge of PSG. Julian Laron joins us. But before all of that, new book, The Plant-Based Power Plan. I'm sure this will be doing very well in January with a lot of people going for veganuary, and it's all about TJ Waterfall, the author, works with lots of athletes from different sports, and they buy into the plant-based diet and it improves their performance, and this could now be you.
Could be me.
Well, it could be you.
Right.
Well, I know you've got a smoothie-based question to come.
I've got some nuts in front of me as well. I'm, you know, almost there, aren't I?
Marvellous. Yeah. TJ, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you.
So, as we said, yeah, a lot of people are thinking about this at the moment. It's very timely you should come out in January. I'm sure it's not a complete accident.
That wasn't a coincidence, I have to say. There was a bit of a rush to get it out in time.
Yeah. And so you work with elite sports people in this area. I just wondered, do they all come to you as converts, or have there been times when maybe their club or their coach has said, this is something you should look at, a plant-based diet, and then you've had to kind of, not so much talk them into it, but convince them that it's right for them?
No, I'd actually say most people who come to me are already pretty aware of the benefits of a plant-based diet. There's no sort of convincing on my part. mostly they come to me because they're aware of the advantages and are interested in trying a plant-based diet, but they just don't know what to do next and how best to go about it. So yeah, that's where the work with them comes in.
And what should they do next? You know, when Hector Bellerin arrives and says, I want to be a vegan, what's the next step?
Well, there's so much to discuss. There's obviously the fundamentals of healthy eating. That's important for everyone, no matter what your diet is. It's really important to get that right because so many people don't. You know, a lot of clients I work with spend 20 plus hours a week training, but they invest very little time in their nutrition. And so, yeah, getting the fundamentals right is the most important thing. Once you do that, then you can go on to sort of fine-tuning the diet and looking at nutrition timing, ergogenic aids, which are sort of, you know, performance-enhancing foods which can help as well, and sort of build up from there.
Well, when you're dealing with sort of team-based sports people, do you generally finding that there is often a plant-based option at their clubs whenever they have lunch? The nutritionists at all the clubs are completely switched on to this?
Pretty much always, yes. Yeah, there's usually good plant-based options nowadays, which definitely makes my job easier. As long as 5 years ago, I'd say there probably weren't. But yeah, times have changed in the last few years, and yes, it's much easier now.
I don't want to do our listeners down, but I don't know how many are elite sports people. For the ones that aren't,
well, we know Paul Scholes was listening because he's looking for you.
He's after me, yes. But you know, aside from the class of '92 who are avid listeners to the station, you know, if you're thinking about this or you want to be a bit healthier, you know, can you go part vegan? Is it all or nothing, or can you be vegan for 3 days a week and then, you know, eat something you'd prefer to eat later in the week?
It definitely doesn't have to be all or nothing. I would say any shift in the direction to a more plant-based diet would definitely help. And that's true whether you're an elite athlete or sports person, or, you know, whether you're someone like me who, just enjoys exercising recreationally or socially. I'm a sort of fitness and sports enthusiast, but I'm by no stretch of the imagination an elite sports person. No matter what your level is, you can definitely benefit from making a shift in that direction. I would argue that the further you move in that direction, the more benefits you'll realize. You can definitely start off with, you know, a handful of plant-based meals a week, and you'll almost certainly see some benefits just from that.
I wonder you obviously spend a lot of time thinking about what to call the book and the plant-based power plan, and we've said plant-based a lot. Is it got to a stage now where people sort of accept that isn't eating plants? Do you know what I mean? I mean, I know that sounds stupid, but I think in my first mind, as soon as someone says plant-based, I think, oh, I don't want to eat plants.
I know what you mean. It's a term that encompasses the sort of dietary lifestyle, but... I've been a plant-based for the last 5 years or so. I was actually ate quite a lot of meat before that. And I've spent time working in kitchens. I now teach cooking and nutrition at the top vegan cookery school, Demuth's Cookery School. And I can honestly say that I've had some of the best food I've ever eaten in the last few years. And you can really, make almost any cuisine from around the world and make beautiful plant-based versions of it. Things like fragrant Chinese stir fries, colorful Mexican burritos, authentic Italian pizzas and pastas, the list goes on. It definitely doesn't have to be, boring plants or salads. It can be exciting, authentic, hearty, and delicious. Yeah.
Well, there's lots of excellent recipes at the back as well, and I think we may pass some of these on to our breakfast presenter, Alan Brazil. Yeah. I wonder what Alan would be like on the homemade rustic baked beans.
Is it cheap? I know. Is it? Because I think part of the worry about veganism is it's a diet of privilege, right? Can you if you don't have a lot of money, is it easy? Is it cheap?
It's incredibly cheap. You definitely don't have to rely on the expensive foods like avocados and pomegranate seeds, things like that. Those things can be nice if you want to add them, as with any diet. But if you're basing your diet around whole plant foods like grains and pulses and beans, nuts, seeds, it's incredibly cheap, very healthy. And can definitely support promote world-class performance as well.
Good stuff. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us, TJ.
Thank you so much.
TJ Waterfall's book, The Plant-Based Power Plan. We will be passing this on to the breakfast team. Alan will be on the spiced orange quinoa porridge tomorrow.
When I sit in on Jim's show, I'd come in and give Alan just some nuts and seeds, and he'd just say, "I'm not a canary."
So you've got your work. We'll see how he goes on. Wonder what Alan will make of tofu scramble.
He's in.
What a great player, he'll see. What a great player he was. Anyway, there we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
With David Beckham's Range Rover going under the hammer, we were wondering about any items you had that were once owned by the stars. Dan in Fulham says, long ago, I bought a classic 1960s tonic jacket, brackets very mod, second hand. A label on the inside bore the legend, Derek Jacobi.
Oh, that's good.
Beautiful. I've got Derek Jacobi's tonic jacket, says Dan in Fulham. Top work.
On the cars one, Mark in Manchester says, footballers getting their cars totally done up and changed completely. When I lived in Newcastle, I used to regularly see Nile Rangers Range Rover about town. He'd had it personalised so it said Ranger Rover. I don't imagine adding an R to the name broke the stick an R on it. There you go. Yeah. The perfect name.
In a different typeface.
Absolutely.
My dad bought a Mark 1 Range Rover, says Hilly the Hammer in Welling Garden. He says, Range Rover, dark green, tan leather, quad stereo system. When he checked the logbook, first owner, one Rick Wakeman.
Oh, that's excellent.
Keyboard wizard. As a fan, that was very cool. I mean, there might have been a cape in the back, would have given it away. Gold lame cape just lying in the back of the car.
Here's a text. If I was vegan, can I eat cheese? I don't believe so. Live and let live. Do what you want to do. I never ask my smoothie. It'll have to wait until the next time we talk to an expert.
You say Justin, who you speak to every week, of course, on your show. He didn't say evangelises about it, but it works brilliantly. He was talking about it yesterday because Charlie was ribbing him slightly about it, but he was straight in there defending it and saying it's a great way of life, works for him.
Big Bear Ben says, been vegan for 3 years now, the best decision I ever made.
See?
Food is amazing. I've never felt better in myself. I'm trying to do some fitness now, just be a bit healthier. It is boring, isn't it? That's the trouble. When you want to, just after dinner and you want to eat an ice cream, and you think,
you're sitting there with a little Tupperware full of nuts, is a bit bleak, really.
It's bleak. I got some raisins, but not many raisins. I sort of skimped on the raisins. That's how depressing it is.
It's giving you no joy, is it?
Not really. I did the Men's Health 6-Pack in 6-Week Challenge in 2011.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I became so boring. I mean, even more boring before anyone texts in.
Andy Goldstein did it because they kind of look after you, give you a personal trainer, the whole bit. They do everything. Everything's in place for you to succeed, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, essentially, it's replacing everything you like with a cashew nut. That was how I would describe it. And I've said it before, but I had one cheat day, right? A day where you didn't have to eat. You didn't have to do no carbs here or lose the egg yolk. So all the things that give you joy in your life.
Yeah.
And it would be a Saturday on the Soccer AM days, the glory years. I'd stop and get a giant cappuccino. I didn't even like them, but I just wanted some. I was on no dairy through the week. Then I'd eat sweets through the show and then go to the pub afterwards and have a chili. And then I went out for a curry with some friends. At 1 a.m, right, I was staring at the oven like they do on Bake Off with two pan au chocolats with a slab of chocolate look, green and blacks over the top, thinking, what's happened to me? You know, this is honestly, it can. And
you fell off the wagon.
My trainer's, I've got a personal trainer, and he's saying I've got to weigh myself every day.
You've
and,
still got a personal trainer?
Yeah, I've still got one.
Oh, okay. But I don't say that incredulously. Really? I didn't mean it like that. I mean, I just wondered if you meant in that moment or still.
No, still. And so I'm trying to do this thing now for 2 months. You know, and like we'd started talking about it on a Sunday, and people want to join in. There are lots of people who want to get a bit healthier, and it's a cliche to do it in January, but yeah, it's a good idea to be a bit healthier. And he's getting me weighing myself every day. And I don't know if that's good for you, because it's become a bit, you know, I started weighing myself before I go to the loo to see what happens. You know, okay, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, you want to weigh yourself after, ideally.
Well, I did both. I was very interested.
That's a bit weird.
No, not yeah, like that.
What difference it makes. Okay. The somebody who doesn't use carbing up, loading up for the new year is Thomas Souček of West Ham. Souček, as he's suddenly started being called by some commentator. Obviously, someone's had a word with him, said, Tom, how do you want your name print? And he's told him.
So they're
going with it. Like I did yesterday with Sean Dyche. As soon as I heard Sean say Dyche and not Dyche, I'm on board.
Oh, is that
that's
it
the
is?
Way the man says
oh,
it.
Oh, fair enough.
There's a clip of him. Okay. It must be a Premier League clip. And it's just him sitting there looking at the camera and he's just going, Sean Dyche. I don't know, he sounds like Danny LaRue. But anyway, that's all he's doing. But I'm sticking with Souček till he tells me otherwise. But so Thomas Souček, he said he misses a bit of Czech potato salad.
That was after the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the club sorted him yesterday. The club chef sorted him with some proper old sort of potato salad. With you know, nice. You go to Prague and they give you a bit of potato salad. It's not what you expect.
Oh, really?
I was in Prague with some mates once on a gentleman's, and we had a typical Czech meal.
Yeah,
and I think I had the duck. And it was massive, you know, it was a huge thing.
It's just a carb-loading country.
And it was a lot of spud, a lot of, you know, and the other boys I was with, they had knee. They had some kind of animal knee, and they're both sitting there going, "Oh, it's a bit gristly." I'm saying, "Well, yes, a knee."
Has yours done your ACL? His meniscus has gone on that one.
It had one of the frames on it. It still had the old plastic. It was wearing a protective boot. But anyway, in the Czech Republic, right, they favour that potato salad with a schnitzel or carp.
Right.
So you can have a nice carp and potato salad. So
I'd go schnitzel every time.
Would you go down that route? I don't know if they deep fry the carp, because I've got a picture of it here, and that is very much the. Do you reckon that's the schnitzel, or is that
that's
the carp?
That's a schnitzel. That's not a carp.
That's
is
not
it?
A carp. Wait, well, could be a carp breaded, in batter.
You don't batter a carp. Do you? Who batters a carp?
I'll try where's not it, to. 08717 22. Never mind your top five centre arms.
Do you batter it and then put it back, Nigel? By the way, that's what we want to know.
Could you batter a carp? Ideally, you catch and release, don't you? That's what you want to be doing.
Yes. Is this our free section?
I intended to do something a bit more structured than this, but it's gone a bit freeform.
I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah, go on,
Paul. Do you, when you wake up in the morning, do you, Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney.
When you wake up in the morning, do you pull your cartney?
Paul McCartney starts the day by listening to one of his own songs.
Wow.
Yeah, he says, the 70-year-old says, the one I seem to go to most when I'm banging down on the piano is Lady Madonna. There we are. But he listens to it. What, do you,
first
do,
thing
do,
in
do
the
you
morning.
Put clips of the week
I'll
on?
I put an old clips of the week. First thing in the morning. Okay, I like nothing better than listening to my own voice.
Yeah, I think so. Me too.
Yeah.
I go back to any one of the shows. I'm normally presenting a show on Talksport when I wake up anyway. So it's just, I'm on every minute.
I haven't got Macca's back catalogue, of course, so I can understand. But that's interesting, isn't it? This makes it, this sort of reminds him how good he is, I would imagine. Not that he should need reminding of that.
A medical report revealing Napoleon Bonaparte spent his final years in agony with toothache has sold in Dallas, Texas for £1,500.
Really?
What could that possibly say, apart from toothache hurt Napoleon?
No wonder he was a bit bolshy.
Yeah.
No wonder he went off trying to conquer Europe. Because it can make you quite bad-tempered, toothache.
I've got
it?
A slight mouth ulcer now, and it's really getting me down.
But you're not looking to start war with.
Not going to invade Ukraine anytime soon.
No, that's good
no
news.
Plans.
Well,
currently.
That's good. It's a bit of breaking news. Matt Rushton still with us. We're not before Saturday because Charlie's counting on you, obviously.
Absolutely,
so that's
yeah.
That's right. Anyway, what else we got for? Oh yes, we're going to talk transfers in a few moments. Time. Look at the transfer stories of the day. So we'll bring you that very shortly, including Mesut Ozil, which we discovered today will be on for a loyalty bonus if he sees his contract. He has been loyal.
Is he paid a lot? No one's mentioned it.
I don't think he's on a great deal of money.
I'm not sure. I don't think he's
ever mentioned that before.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Maurizio Pochettino began life last night in the dugout.
It hurt you, didn't it, Paul?
Well, I did. I was saying earlier on, Max, it was a bit like seeing an old girlfriend
stepping out.
Going out with her new bloke.
Parisian artist. Yeah. Oh, God, that would really hurt, wouldn't it? All of his coaches,
Jesus and all the guys there, you've got to know them, you've got to see them, and then suddenly they're in somebody else's dugout. The treachery.
You'll be okay.
Of course not. I'm pleased for him. But they didn't kick off with a win. Watching the game, here to tell us more, Julian Laurent. Good afternoon, Jules.
Hello, boys.
Yeah, it was weird. A weird experience seeing him there. Well, that was it felt a bit Premier League because Claude Puel was there as well. So it wasn't quite as jarring. It could have just been an old Spurs-Leicester game we were watching back. So it was a 1-1 draw and they made pretty hard work of it at times and they could have lost it towards the end. I watched the highlights and one off the bar from St Etienne towards the end could have lost the game.
Well, yeah, you're right. They could have lost the game. St Etienne played really well considering they didn't really do too good this season under Puel. They had a lot of changes and a lot of players missing. PSG had a lot of players missing as well, 9 of them, including people like Neymar or Kimpembe, Icardi, some of really big players for them. And also the fact that Pochettino only had 2 proper training sessions since he joined the club. So I don't think we could expect really to see the revolution or even to see a lot of changes in the way the team played. We saw a few little things like Marco Verratti playing a bit higher up on the pitch compared to his usual position before. We saw a bit of flexibility tactically as well in what they're trying to do. But you're right, they could have lost the game. They could have won it as well. They had some decent chances late in the game. Moise Kean, Kylian Mbappe was not so good. But certainly I think it's a bit early to judge Poch on that game. I think he was happy to be there. It was a freezing night in Saint-Etienne. But I think he will take that point and move on to the next game.
I was doing a show with Andros Townsend the other day and talking about, you know, him and when sort of Pochettino got rid of him at Spurs and that sort of ruthlessness of Pochettino. Julien, I have seen a picture of him and Neymar looking happy together, haven't I? I think I did. So does that mean he hasn't ruthlessly bombed out Neymar yet?
the big question, Max, is and I think it's the right one as well. Will the dressing room listen to him? Will they do what he says? Will they run as much as he wants them to? Will there be that intensity that he wants that we saw at Southampton and at Spurs, which worked with those dressing rooms? Will he work with this one, which is by far more difficult, I think, to deal with than the ones he had before, with more egos than the one he had before? And that's certainly the big question mark over him coming to the club is what the dynamic will be. How is Mbappe going to respond to Poch methods? What about Neymar? And I think you're right. I think he will be ruthless because I think that's part of him as a coach. But will that be enough? And also, will he be backed by the club? Let's say if he's not happy with a Neymar, that has been the problem before with some PSG managers is that the club was two more players driven really than with the managers. So let's hope that now that they made the effort to go and get him, that they would back him up if there's a discipline issue somewhere or if he feels that some of the players, especially key players, are not really buying into the methods.
Yeah, I mean, and at Tottenham, as we saw, there were players there for whatever reason didn't buy into what he wanted. We know they were Etienne Capoue, Younes Kabul, they were moved on. Yep. Quite quickly, but the profile of those players, with respect, is not Neymar and Mbappe and some of the sort of Galacticos they've got there. So it's a whole lot harder to go at the board, say, it's not working for me, can we move him on?
No, you're right. And also, I think when he was talking to the club to join, they made it clear to him that the future at the club, certainly for what they want to do, is with Neymar and Mbappe. They're trying very hard to extend the deal that finish in 18 months. So if you're coming now, you are coming with Neymar and Mbappe, and you, maybe you have to adapt a little bit your methods and your ideas. Hopefully they will also be part of what you want to do and they'll be on board and everything, and that would be great. But I think he knows that they're there, hopefully, for the club, or that's what the club wants. They're there on the longer term than just for the next 6 months. And I think it's also key for them to extend their deal, to have that good relationship with Poch, I think he's, as you know, he can be very seducing, very charming when he wants to be. He's a very intelligent guy, and I'm sure that he will manage to get that dressing room behind him.
Do you see this Dele Alli thing happening? I mean, people are putting two and two together, and they're making five. I mean, and if they did bring him in, do you think he'd be a good fit?
Of all the former Spurs players or current Spurs players, I thought Eriksen was going to be the one, really, that Poch could think, OK, I need a bit of creativity in that PSG team because Verratti is often injured, because I think you need someone to be able to put his foot on the ball that just doesn't think only about running up players and do nutmegs and keep earpiece and things like Neymar and Mbappe. And I thought Eriksen would be very good for that, especially with Di Maria having only 6 months left on his contract. However, PSG have said to Inter, for now, we're not really thinking about Eriksen. And for Dele Alli, I'm not sure. I'm being told that at the moment there's nothing there, but Poch might think he's a good idea to have. He can play as a second striker. He can play a bit deeper if he wants to. He can offer you other options. I'm just not sure right now that's exactly the profile they need. I think they need another centre-back, for example, a bit more creativity as in a playmaker, more maybe than someone like Dele Alli.
Is there a minimum requirement for Poch this season?
As you know, it's always the Champions League, really, where you judge people. But I think he will, because he's arrived at the time he's arrived, and you know that he needs a bit of time to put all his ideas together for the squad to implement what he wants to do. That will take a bit of time, and he's got no time. He's got 12 games to come in 50 days, which is a crazy schedule. So I think if they qualify for the quarterfinals by beating Barcelona in February and March, which I think they could do, I think quarterfinals is the minimum that he should do in the Champions League. After that, it depends a lot on the draw, the fitness of your players, the form, and if you had the time to put your ideas together. But certainly the Champions League and at least a quarterfinal would be acceptable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Julien, was it Claude Puel? I remember us doing a show on TalkSport where you said he's from a certain part of France where everyone is boring.
No, I'm not sure if I said boring, but certainly not the most expensive and happy, put it that way.
Okay, yes, I just remember. It's a whole area of France written off by Julien Laurent because Claude Puel.
No, I didn't write them off. They're just very much like Claude Puel.
All right, okay.
I'm just looking it up. He's from Castres, which is rugby country, yeah. Really, yeah. Jules, isn't it?
Very much so.
There we are. Yeah. Everyone there is like Claude Puel. Yeah. It's an amazing place to go. As soon as this is all over, that's where I'm going to head.
Somewhere the Laurent family won't be holidaying this year. Boring, is it?
It's not that. It's just you can see him on the touchline. You know, he's not cracking jokes every 5 minutes. That's what I mean.
I don't expect him to do an hour at the Comedy Store anytime soon. So, thank you, Jules.
Cheers,
see
mate.
You soon.
Thank you, boys. Take care.
Julien Laurent, their French football expert. So, quarterfinals. I think they might be the air.
Maybe. What's the most boring area of the UK? 8:10
that's not going to upset anybody. That. Cheers, Max. Save that for the weekend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It is time for the birthday spread.
Yeah, I'm ready.
10 birthdays of the week. Max and I have got a guess. We normally have to get involved in the scoring, which can be a bit off-putting, but because the scoring has been... Andy joins us, of course. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, hello, mate.
How
you doing? Yeah, great Gilo impression.
Gilo, and
welcome to the show, Andy.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, and, thanks very much. Yeah, I've been listening.
Oh,
it
good.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Well, what else are you going to say, if you like?
Any tips? Or
Well, no.
Okay,
I thought Dave Edwards was good.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he? Yeah. You got 10 birthdays for us, and you had a new scoring system, paint and scoring system, which was a disaster, Andy. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't think it was. I thought
it was good.
I also joined us online, a man who was thankfully unofficially keeping score because he could hear what a mess it was. Well, Jeff Peters, Philbert the Fox, our man in the East Midlands. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, yeah, welcome to the new and improved birthday spread scoring hub. We're all busy here. We've all got pens and paper at the ready.
To the noise.
Beautiful production number, Jeff.
We're all getting it ready.
You have not enough to do today, Jeff.
It doesn't sound like there's much socially distancing going on, does it?
Billy says, sad to see the birthday spread embracing modern technology. The game is gone,
it's
Jeff.
True. It is. I think we'll look back on this as a dark moment.
Well, we were looking at the Stableford system.
My games are a dark moment.
we were looking at the Jack Duckworth Chris Lewis method as well. There's two different versions, but we've gone for the much more simple, just adding it
just
up.
Just adding up things properly. Yeah. Okay, well, listen to the nerve centre. So let's move on, ridiculous. Andy. Give us, so the way it works, if you've not heard it before, where you've been, 10 birthdays, Andy will have a gag for each one, and there's a margin of error that builds. If I'm 10 out for everyone, my margin of error would be 100. If Max managed to get, you know, you get the idea. It's the one who gets it right in the least amount of years wrong. It all makes sense when we start. Where's Pele? There he is, Andy. So it's a very happy birthday to whom?
It's a very happy birthday to Rowan Atkinson.
Ooh, okay.
And I have to say, I'm really looking forward to his new sitcom about an FA compliance officer, Mr. Graham Bean.
Oh, yeah, well, that's good. You've really got to know your FA compliance officers of the past. You've really got to know, yeah. If you know your great football administrators. Adrian Bevington will love that. He'll just Graham Kelly will be sitting there chuckling away. So, okay.
Who's
Rowan
going
Atkinson.
First? Who's going first?
Who's going first?
Jeff,
I'll let you go.
It's probably Jeff. Sorry, Jeff's on all his work.
Jeff, who do you want to go first?
Paul to go first.
Oh,
Paul.
He really knows it, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'd say...
Building his part.
I'd say, really where is Rowan Atkinson? He's got to be about 64. It's what do you think, Max?
Pretty good, I reckon.
It's a marker laid down for you.
Okay, it's a good marker. I'm just thinking Blackadder and thinking about how much time we have left. I'll go 66.
Okay. What is he, Andy?
66.
Oh, aye, aye. Okay. Right, so,
not
Jeff,
bad,
early doors. Even I'll work that one up.
It's Paul 2, Max 0.
Yeah, good work. Okay, next one, Andy.
See how it works. Oh, yeah, it's good, isn't it? Okay.
After all these years, it's just basically adding up the years we were wrong. It's a eureka moment. Anyway, Andy, keep going.
Keep going. Okay, yeah. Here we go. It's happy birthday to the former newsreader, Jan Leeming.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Jan Leeming. And every New Year's Day, actually, including this year, her whole family go free diving at Dover. It's always great to watch the Leemings plunge off the cliff.
Fantastic scene.
Very good. What's that sound there?
I enjoyed that one. Andy,
this individual clanging bell coming from the nerve centre. She's got to be. She's
That's
got to
me.
Be.
It's me. Isn't
oh,
it?
It's you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so, yeah. Sorry, mate. Yeah,
Jan Leeming.
Jan Leeming.
Well, so I can't remember Jan Leeming. So I'm presuming she's of an age. But with all, you know, with all due respect,
Jan, she was big on radio in the 40s. Jan Leeming. I'm cheating.
No. There's no place for that in this game. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Okay.
That's sledging.
No, I won't do that.
Jan Leeming is 73.
Okay, I think she might be a bit younger. I'm going to go 69, Andy Jacobs. What is she?
No, Jan Leeming is 79. That's amazing.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen her for a while.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
How do we know what the scores are?
So what's the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 10, Max 6.
Okay, this is great. Isn't it great?
Sorry, hang on. It's Paul 12, Max 6.
Oh, come on.
You had one job.
Jan me a meal.
One job you actually volunteered for, mate. Okay, number three.
What a farce. Number three, it's the great opera singer, I've never heard of her, Grace Bunbury.
Oh, okay. Grace Bunbury.
I always enjoy playing for a charity cricket club, of course.
I'm sure you do. Yeah, yeah. David telling his fox hat joke at her last gig. I'd say,
is that the joke? Is that the joke? Is it done? I just want to check Andy didn't have more.
I can't do that joke at this time of day.
No, I've got more. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got a joke? Oh, it's your joke.
No, I haven't got a joke about that. No, guess Grace Bunbury. Just guess her name. Some of them have got to be ordinary.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It was like a celebrity. Cricket team. That was
just
the
didn't want Andy to have done the work and not, you know.
Okay,
fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. Grace Bunbury. I don't know. 60. What do you think, mate?
Grace Bunbury is 52.
What is she?
84.
Oh, I've clawed a few points back there.
Have.
We won't know how many until Jeff's worked it out, and even then, what's the score, Jeff?
It's 24. So
he was 24. Are you serious?
It's 36 for Paul.
kind of painted himself as some kind of mathematical genius, and he's no better than us. He just wanted to join in.
Brilliant. Johnny Ball next week.
It's not, is it?
32,
it's ridiculous.
36, 24.
Okay, so, you're looking at a picture of somebody. So 24, 36.
It's Paul Eric 36. Morley. Max 38.
Okay, right, taking the lead, Paul. Well go on then, Eric. Crack on because we'll be
very happy birthday to the fine actress January Jones.
Oh, yeah.
January Jones, of course, in Mad Men, January Jones. I just bought some cheap yachting equipment from her, actually. Full rigging for less than 250 quid. I always get a bargain with the January sales.
Wow.
January sales.
Stinks. January sales. Are we all agreed? Right. 339. January Jones.
Okay, I didn't never watch Mad Men.
Okay. Oh, so it's going to
be that's helpful from my point of view. Go on, then.
Yeah. It is helpful.
How old is she?
She's 37.
I'd say she's a bit older than that, but not a great deal, Max. It wasn't too bad. It could have gone badly wrong for you. I'd say she's probably, about 42?
Oh, very good. She's 43.
Okay. Game on. Quite easy for Jeff to work out as well. What was that, Jeff?
So it's 44 to Max, and it's 37 to Paul.
44, 37. So I'm winning then, am I?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, this is good.
Good. Well done, mate.
Okay, go on, Nick. Keep going, Andy. How many birthdays
very happy
is
birthday.
This?
Well, this is number five. Oh, number five God, is Michael on. Stipe. We better get him here. Michael Stipe, okay, right, yeah. The musician. Yeah. Amazingly, he's just gone on a giant pub crawl with our local rabbi. Yes, he was boozing my religion.
Very good.
Oh, dear.
Very okay, good. But Michael Stipe. How old's Michael Stipe? I'd say he's 60. I'm going to go 60, Michael Stipe. 60. Is that a bit old?
I think it might be a bit old.
Yeah, I think it might be a bit old.
I'll go 54.
Yeah, I think you're going to be spot on there. What is the end?
There's a bit of kidology there from Paulie. 61.
Oh! I wasn't messing with you. I thought I'd gone too old.
You know, Wiley. I thought this, you know.
He's got quite an old face. Even as a young man, he had quite an old face, didn't he? No, sorry, Michael, if you're listening.
Who knew Paul was so duplicitous?
it's a dirty business. Yeah. What's the score, Jeff?
The score, Jeff?
It's Paul 38, Max 50.
Okay.
Oh, right, you're really flying away with this.
Okay, yeah, go on. Yeah. Come on,
I don't know how that's happened.
Yeah, it was 44.37.
I mean, very happy birthday to the guitarist and singer, Bernard Sumner. Bernard Sumner.
Okay.
You're kicking it off.
I just bought one of his air conditioning cooling fans, which I really love. Yes, Sumner Breeze makes me feel fine. Thank you. Thanks. Good night.
Yeah, not one of their songs.
Bernard Sumner.
You know that he's
done. It's not one of their songs.
Bernard Sumner is... I go 54 for Bernard.
54 for Bernard. I think he might be a bit older than that. 57 I'm going for, Andy. What is he?
65.
No, he's not.
Is he serious?
65.
I can't believe.
That's what he says.
Perhaps I don't know who
old,
he is. Maybe I don't know who he is.
It's incredible, you know who he is. Isn't it? Joy Division.
Okay. Oh, I was thinking someone else. There we go.
Okay. This one's a bit long.
What's the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 46, Max 62.
Oh, well, you're running away with it.
Go on,
really need to turn it on.
Okay,
now.
It's a very happy birthday to Thelma Holt, the theatre producer, Thelma Holt.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you know Thelma, but she used to smoke using a long cigarette holder. And funny enough, she was very posh. She was a friend of Rupert Bell. And she had this terrible habit, Thelma, of never stubbing out her fags. She'd sort of fling them on the ground and alight. But fortunately, Rupert, the Villa fan, was there to put it out. Yes, he loved standing on the whole end.
Oh, wow. Cool, it took a long time. We could have got to Birmingham.
I was taking notes.
Yeah. It was there'll be a handy leaflet explaining that joke available on the website after the show. So is it me first?
I think so, yeah.
What's it, Thelma Holt? What does she do?
She's a theatre producer.
84. What do you think, Max?
You said 84. I've got to claw it back here. 60.
89.
Oh, no. You played a high-risk game, Max
Rushton. Yeah.
Although, based on the scoring system so far, that might put you in the lead somehow. What's the score, Jeff?
It is 51 to Paul. Yeah. It is 91 to Max.
Really going to play an expansive 40, game now.
I could just play snookers now, but that's not me.
So you're not Mourinho, are you? No. Come on.
It's a very happy birthday to the singer-songwriter from the Straubs, Dave Cousins.
Oh, yeah, Dave Cousins.
And of course, you must remember his most famous song about a Canadian darts player who formed a players' association, part of the union.
Oh, yeah, that's, Straubs.
John Parr.
That song
means nothing
Don
to me.
Parr.
I don't know who it is.
Wait, A lefty like you, Max, doesn't know part of the union. I can't believe that. Yeah.
No, I don't know Dave Cousins. I'm just focusing on the scores now. What do you think? Here we go. 71.
I'd say he's a bit older than that.
That's always... This is
70, 76.
He is 76.
Ooh.
Oh! You're just, this is embarrassing now, isn't it?
So, well, you got a chance to claw it back with this one. Okay. It's the concert pianist. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff. What's the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 51, Max 96.
Okay. Humiliation. How many more we got? Because
two.
Two more. Rock and roll. Go on then. Keep going.
Okay. Alfred Brendel, the concert pianist, poet, and author. Yeah. Alfred Brendel. Yeah. I've just finished reading his autobiography, actually, when he writes about all his love conquests as a young man.
Oh, yeah.
Brendel Rogers.
Okay. Just Andy working
in the gutter.
The light blue book there.
I hear he can if he needs to.
He does a great blue act. Does a great blue
act. Best line of the whole clip.
Galley if he needs to.
If he needs to.
If he needs to.
Who needs to?
Bob needs the money to go and do a blue act. So he's got to be 85. 85, I'm going for. Boy Brendel.
Brendel, you say 85?
Yeah.
I say 41.
41, here we go. Butch and Sundance moment, that is.
90.
So what does... Just tell us, Jeff, what does Max need to be out in the next birthday?
Here's a text. Max, you criticise Leeds' style of play, yet you've gone all out here. Shambles, learn to defend.
It's very Bielsa-like, the way you're playing.
Yeah, well, the fans love it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. 08717.
Well, Paul's got 56 and Max has got 130 something.
Oh. Okay, 130. The score has given up.
Well, then it's null and void.
Unless you go, they are four, and I say they're 103, I think you've lost it.
Well, if you can't get the score, if Jeff doesn't have the score, then the game is
145,
null and void.
Max.
145 plays 56. Great. So, yeah, somebody 90 and somebody who's three. Okay. So, go on then.
Okay. The final birthday of the day, the actress from Loving, Oscar-nominated Ruth Negga. Ruth Negga.
Yeah.
And I was in the audience, actually, and started a football-style chant. Negga, 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 Negga. Oi, oi, oi. Thank you.
That's right. Do you remember the Zigga Zagga song?
Not from sure there was Andy's a, talking
there
about.
There was a play. Right.
Oh, don't call yourself a proper football fan.
That was a song of the 60s, of course. And a play, a football play. Zigga Zagga.
Getting trolled by Andy.
You don't remember that.
Call yourself a proper fan. What are you doing on Talk Sport? You don't know who Fortuna Dusseldorf are. Right.
Ruth is about 45. So here we are, Max. Ruth? I'm giving you. I mean, I'm going 45. I should have said she's 11. And just for a bit of sport, shouldn't I?
108.
He's given up now. He's got a bit of a gob on here. He's not.
He's tanked.
It's really got to him. It's got to him.
So he's hoping for a first round draft choice next week. She's 39.
39. So I was a bit out.
It actually matters to me more than it should. I don't know if
can you be bothered with a final score? Is it too humiliating for Max?
108 minus 39 equals 69 plus 145 equals. Okay, so it is final Paul score. 62.
62.
Max 214.
Hey, that's why you've been doing this for 20 years, Paul. Absolutely. Incredible. Happy birthday to you. What a great victory.
I thought this was a young man's game, but apparently not. Andy, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, lovely. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Cheers, guys. Top man. Thanks, Jeff. If you're tempted to do this again next week, we'll catch up with you then. Thanks very much. So there we are. Jeff Peters, the official scorer. 62 played, 214 max. I want you to go home and practice.
I really will. I've let myself and my family down.
No. Yeah. Anyway, there we are. Bit of live sport for you. And we're going to be...
Stop the count, says Martin. Yeah, it's got to that stage, isn't
it? Basically, you won bigly there, didn't you?
I really did.
That's the way it's going to be painted.
I think I won that, as far as I could tell.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. A humbling experience, Max.
I've let myself down. I went all out attack, and I feel that was worth it. But I made the mistake of... maybe thinking you didn't know who some of the people were. I think you did. Well, I think you cheated me a little bit with Michael Stipe. I think that's...
You think I did? I really didn't mean to. I think that...
You say you didn't mean to, but that... You know.
So when I say prepare next week, that doesn't mean by reading all the birthdays in the paper.
No,
I trust you because there's no sport in that.
I believe all radio features should be honest. That's why many of mine don't work that well.
Good stuff. Well, Andy's back tomorrow. Thank you, Max.
Pleasure.
We'll see you next week. Max is with me next week. But Andy returns tomorrow with the clips of the week and all that. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.